we were going around the room interacting on how people's weeks had been and how things were going, and people were commenting, oh, my week was okay, oh, my week was fair, and that wasn't too bad. And one particular young woman said, well, in all honesty, my week was not very good. And today especially was really bad. I said, well, would you like to share with us why? Well, no, not really. I said, well, that's fine. Well, no, I'd really like to share about it, but I'm just kind of embarrassed. I said, well, you know, you don't have to share on it. She says, well, no, I'd like to. I think it'd be a good idea if I did. And then she started to cry, and she said, well, to be honest, she said, most of the time I just feel like a fat, ugly slob. And I didn't want to keep attention on her too much because I knew that was very difficult for her to say. And so I immediately looked at the rest of the group. I said, how many of the rest of you feel the same way? And every hand in the room went up. And then I asked this question. I said, let me ask you this question. I want you to ponder this question. What percent of the time in your life, each day, do you really feel good about yourself? You really feel positive about your life personally, not about the peripheral things. I mean, if we strip away all the things that make you feel good about yourself, that are temporary, like your looks, your money, your possessions, without those kinds of things, how often do we really feel good about ourselves? Well, we went around the room that night and had a little confession session. And we came up to about an average of 10 to 20%, which means the average person there that night, about 80 to 90% of the time, feels pretty negative about themselves. So we discussed that night, and then the next day, I began giving this subject some very, very serious consideration, because in all honesty, at the time, I couldn't relate. Now, there was a time in my life that I could. But as they were sharing it, I thought, you know, when's the last time I felt crummy? I felt bad about myself. And I just couldn't remember the last time. So I made a few phone calls as I started calling some other folks who weren't involved in Renew, and I began to ask them the same question. I asked them, what percent of the time do you feel good about yourself? Really good, really up, really enthused, really joyful. And I began to discover that it wasn't very often at all. And the more people I ask, the more the answers seem to be the same. I want you to think about that as I share this morning. But it opened up for me something that I realized I've been experiencing in my Christian life for now about the last 6 years. But the more and more people I interact with, the more and more Christians I interact with, the more and more friends I interact with, the more I discover this is not the norm. Most people do not feel good about themselves. And so, I began to do some real soul searching. And I thought, well, God, what is it? You know, am I just weird? Am I just living in a dream? Is it just my personality? Is it just my temperament? Am I just kind of an up kind of person? Kind of an enthused kind of person? Or what's the deal? What's the situation? And God began to show me some things that for me were like a new revelation to me in daily living. That is, in how to explain it to others. I don't know if you've ever reflected on this, but just about everything in life that we do relates to our feelings. Now, we don't talk much about feelings in Christianity because those are supposed to be bad. But I want to just prove to you this morning how much we live by feelings and how much they are a part of our lives. If I were to ask you, why do you brush your teeth, wash your hair, take a shower, and wash your face, most of us in this room would say, because I'm concerned about personal hygiene. But if we be honest, the number one underlying motivational reason is because it's no fun having a crummy mouth. It's no fun having an oily face. And oily, greasy hair feels yuck. And a salt, spattered, sweaty, dirty body is very uncomfortable. We feel crummy. And And when we go do something about it, we feel better. Why do you sleep on a soft, warm bed instead of a cold concrete floor? Well, I don't want to have back problems. That's not the reason. It's because it doesn't feel comfortable. Or ask yourself this. I remember 15 years ago, when I was in high school, 16 years ago, playing basketball, you had one choice in basketball shoes. Converse canvas. And you think it's rough today. You ought to go back 15 years ago. Try playing in those things. And if you had money, you could afford the suede ones that matched your school uniform. I never could. So I always had the canvas ones. Today, athletic footwear has just taken off. Why? Why? Is it because of creative marketing? Yes. Is it because it's fashionable? Yes. But you know the bottom line reason why every one of us in this room own a pair? Because they make our little feetsies feel good. And people wear them all year round. They don't wear them for sports. They wear them to walk in. They wear them to work in. They wear them to play in. They wear them to go to sleep in. They wear them for everything. Everybody's trying to make their shoes like athletic shoes. Rockport. That's everything Rockport's about. Making a leather shoe that's dressier feel like a tennis shoe. Or ask yourself, why are jeans so popular? Because they're cool. Well, that's probably part of it. Because they're fashionable, that's certainly part of it. Bottom line reason, I can't wait to get home and get into my jeans. One of these days this summer, by the way, we're going to have Jeans Sunday. And we're all going to wear jeans, including Brent and I. We're going to do that. Yes. That's right. And I've been lifting weights so I can wear my muscle shirt, too, that I got. And if you believe that, I'll sell you a bridge. The jean part you can believe. The muscle shirt, I wouldn't want to frighten anyone. Or intimidate anyone. Anyway. The number one reason is it's comfortable. I went out last week with Lee and Linda Cicero. We went out to Embassy Suites for their brunch after church last Sunday. And I thoroughly enjoyed the time, but I had to be honest. I really, in the worst way, wanted to go home and change first. I do not eat good dressed up. I am a slob. And I feel I had to take my suit to the cleaners. I knew I would. I had stuff all over it. I just am not comfortable in dress-up clothes. You know, I love my jeans and my shirts. You know, my tennis shoes, I will lay around in them, wrestle around in them. I'm ready for anything in jeans. In dress-up clothes, I'm ready for, you know, a few things. Bottom line is they're comfortable. Hey, you ever had a new car or a new used car or was new to you? You go to the new car lot and you get into that car and that aroma. That new car plastics just really puts you in fifth heaven, doesn't it? And that, you know, that fine Corinthian leather, that hand-sewn plastic, you know, that you're sitting on, it's just so magnificent, you know? And those mag wheels, and you just feel so good in that car. Till a couple days later, we get a downpour of rain and the sludge and the slush and the salt comes. And your friends have been getting in and out of your car, and there's gravel and there's sand in the carpet. And you know, you begin to notice a marked difference in the way you feel in that car. You ever notice that? I have. And you go down to the local car wash, you spray it off, you wipe it down, you vacuum it out, you wipe the smog off the windows, armor all the vinyl. And I want to tell you, there is a very cool feeling that comes over you when you drive that car. Or my last illustration. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I believe there's probably a lot of people here who work out or athletic. Let's talk about athleticism a minute. Let's talk about the new health craze in America. I want to be honest about it. I know that you're all concerned about your health. We're all concerned about our heart. We're all concerned about our lungs. But I'm going to be honest with you. The bottom line, reason, motivation, most people work out is because they feel psychologically better about their body. Number one reason, it's a body stroke. It's a psychological, emotional stroke, particularly when we're younger. For those of us who are middle-aged or older, we're trying to keep youthful, or maybe we just had to. Our doctor said, exercise or die. But have you ever noticed that the people who never exercise, about the middle of April and May, ooh, they're out there running off the pounds. Why? So they feel good in a swimsuit in June and July and August. And don't believe me, evaluate your own emotions sometimes. We interact with life all the time on how we feel. God gave you feelings for a reason. And we're going to get to that reason. Now, just the way we interact with outward feelings, our inward feelings are even more significant. And if we go through life with negative feelings, crummy feelings about ourselves, I can promise you two things. Number one, your life is going to be very unproductive. You're not going to be a productive individual. You're not going to contribute much. You're going to be very discouraged. And your life is just basically going to be an all-around drag. It's just not going to be any fun. You're not going to enjoy life until you enjoy you. Understand? And I found that about 90% of what people wrestle with is not external things, but internal things. Who am I? And I'm so insignificant, and I'm so insecure, and do I really matter to anybody, and am I really important, and I'm really kind of ugly. I mean, when was the last time you walked into the bathroom, looked in the mirror, and in all honesty said, boy, you are really good looking? Oh, there's the chuckles. You see what I mean? That's what I mean. By and large. Now, when was the last time you looked in the psychological mirror and said, you know, wow, am I excited about what you are. Wow, you're good. Boy, I'm encouraged by what God made of my life. Not very often. We don't do it in a real mirror. I guarantee you don't do it in a psychological mirror. Because that's the invisible one. The one you have to take by faith. Of course, you have to take a look at the mirror by faith, too, if you're like me. See? But it's better to take it by faith than look at reality. Than look at what's really there. Our world, you see, operates on one premise. God operates on another premise. Have you ever worked out in the cold? Tried to change a flat tire in the cold? Your fingers, they're numb. They're numb. And it takes you about three times as long to do it in the cold as it would have if you could go into a nice warm little garage, turn on the nice warm heat, and get your fingers warm. They work a lot better. Well, you know, life's the same way. You're going to function a lot better. You're going to enjoy life a lot better if you're positive and excited about who God made you to be. If you felt good about yourself, you would enjoy life much, much more. And did you know that is the primary reason that Jesus Christ came to this planet? He died for you and I. He rose from the dead. Did you know the primary reason was to give you a new God identity? He wanted to switch passports on you. He wanted to give you a new visa. He wants to give you a new identity that's equivalent to His Son. A new personhood in Christ. And that's the only way that you're ever going to be able to feel positive about you. But I want to tell you, it's a great way. And it's a permanent way. And it's a way that does not change with time. It doesn't change as we get older. It doesn't change as our body or our lot in life changes. God is permanent. He's permanent. And God wants you to feel good about you. As I visit with people, that they kind of surprises them. Well, I don't know about that, Mark. It's a walk of faith. Well, my goodness, if you know Christ, you're afraid to die? I'm not. I don't live with the feelings of the fear of death. I mean, if someone put a gun to my head, I might be a little leery about what it's going to feel like to have a bullet pierce my head. But I don't walk through life feeling fearful of death because the Bible says God conquered death. I don't walk around with feelings of guilt because the Bible said God came to free me from the feelings of guilt. So if God's concerned about those feelings, He's concerned about all the other feelings we have in life. And I would like to share with you what I believe are the secrets, biblical secrets, to changing the way you feel about yourself. So I want to read some of these off to you. First of all, you must change what you think about. You must change what you think about and the way you think. Now that's very basic to life. You need to de-junk your thoughts. You know, you need to de-junk your thought life. You need some time to evaluate this. Oftentimes, our feelings are the best indicator of what we've been thinking about. I don't know if you ever thought about that before. Feelings are a direct result of what's going on in your little brain. We tend to think we're victims to our feelings. We don't have any choice over our feelings, but that's untrue. You can control the environment of your mind. Thereby, you can influence the environment of your emotions. It's as simple as that. Now, if you'll stop with me some time and do an experiment this week, the next time you feel frustrated or discouraged or insecure or without confidence or inadequate, ugly, I want you to stop for a moment and think about what's going on in my brain. What have I been thinking about the last couple of days? What am I thinking about right now? The next time you're feeling thankful, you're feeling encouraged, you're enjoying life, I want you to stop and think about what's going on in my life right now. And you know, you may find out one of two things. Number one, you may find out your joy is really coming from circumstances, which is a very yo-yo kind of living. You may find out, I got a new raise. Oh, am I feeling good today? You may find yourself thinking, my tax refund came today. Boy, I'm feeling good today. Or you may find, I was trusting God today. God says this about me. It doesn't matter what anyone else says. This is what God says. And boy, I'm rejoicing in that today. Now, that's a mature kind of living. And that's the kind of living that's going to bring your life the most success. You need to make sure that your thoughts are founded on truth and not a false premise, like Mark was sharing this morning in the scripture reading. How often we go through life as if we're the person with the terminal disease and we're going to live forever. Somebody needs to tell us the news that they got the tests mixed up, that somebody got the wrong information, you see? And we live our life so often under false premise. I think about the verse he shared this morning, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from what? There's a lot of things the truth sets you free from. It sets you free from bad feelings, if you understand the truth. If your banker calls you up and tells you the bank went broke, you're going to be bummed out. If the banker calls you up and tells you, just a minute, someone bailed us out, your feelings are going to change. It's as simple as that. Truth sets you free. Jesus said this, I have come that you might have life abundantly. The thief has come only to steal and kill and destroy. Do you understand? That's the main goal of our world system, is to rob you of the abundance God intended you to have through a lie. Through a lie. See? Through a lie. We think it matters what the scale says. It doesn't matter. We think it matters what we think about ourselves versus God. It doesn't matter. We think it matters what other people think of us. It doesn't matter. It only matters what God says is true. I was thinking about this the other day. Imagine that we were back on the gold standard and the only way you had any money was if you had gold. Well, I'd be broke. I don't have any gold. Right here, I have some gold. A little gold. And in my teeth. But that wouldn't, I wouldn't survive a minute on that much gold. Just suppose, though, that pine needles and gravel were equivalent. That'd be good news, wouldn't it? Well, I got lots of pine needles in my backyard. Bags of it. Garbage bags. Full of it. I'd be rich. See, now if we lived under that truth, why, we'd all be happy campers. You know, we'd all be gathering up all the pine needles and all the gravel we could find and storing it away. If that was true, but it's not. We tend to use the reverse with God. We say, oh yeah, I believe that, but do we really? Do we really? Does it really affect our experience of living? Is your life really abundant? The second thing you need to do is you need to become very familiar with your new identity. You ever seen those movies? You know, those World War II movies where they're giving a guy a new identity, he's going to infiltrate, and he's pacing the floor with the agents, and he's learning his new identity, his new parents' name, his new birth date, his how many brothers and sisters he had, what he did for a job, where he went to school, what he's doing. Until he becomes so familiar with himself, my wife and I went to see Rain Man last night. And I was really amazed at Dustin Hoffman. The first movie I ever saw Dustin Hoffman in, I think, 1973, in Little Big Man. And boy, has he come a long way. Little big man, Tootsie, and now Rain Man. You know why he's so good? Because he becomes who he is in the part. If you're going to be a successful actor or actress, you must become the part. You must eat it. You must sleep it. You must act it out in everyday life. And you'll be successful. You want to be successful in your Christian life? You must become very familiar with your new identity. You must believe it. You must live it. You must dream it. And it'll change your experience of living. Secondly, you need to think more about these things and apply these truths. The more you do, the better you will feel, and the more abundant your life will become. I want to ask you just a few series of questions here. I've got a little, I don't know if it's a poem, I guess it's a poem that you're going to be given after the service today at the door, so you can get one of these out in the hallway at the tape library today. But these are some things that I thought are stimulating questions for our reflection, and I'd just like to read them to you for a moment. God is very logical. He's very, very logical. And if you think about these questions, there's really only one logical answer. Is it reasonable that a beautiful person feels ugly? Let's talk about this for a minute. You know, I want to use a very real example that you can grab onto. A person with anorexia. I've dealt with people that have had anorexia and bulimia. You know something very interesting about people that have anorexia or bulimia? No matter how much you tell them, they're thin already. They don't believe it. I've talked to people that weigh 98 pounds, and they don't believe they're thin. I'm fat. Where's the battle? The battle's in the mind. And we face the same thing. I meet people who are anorexic spiritually all the time. They're believing spiritually all the time because they refuse to believe what God says is true. That's just the simple fact of the matter. And they keep binging or starving themselves. And sometimes it gets to the point you go, my goodness, look how ugly you are. It's awful. And then you think they think they're beautiful, but they think they're too fat. And the cycle goes on and on and on. I see that happening with Christians all the time. That cycle goes on and on and on. It's so unreasonable for a person who God says is beautiful to consider themselves ugly. It's just not, it's beyond reason. Is it reasonable that someone God says is righteous feels unrighteous? Is it reasonable that those who are constantly being cleansed by the blood flow of the Lamb would ever feel dirty? Is it reasonable that we who are wonderfully handmade by God should ever feel like a piece of junk? I mean, you think about that for a minute. You're handcrafted by God. Not some mass-produced assembly line human being. And yet how often we view ourselves and our whole feeling about ourselves, I'm just a worthless piece of garbage. Some of us would never admit that. We need to come to grips with that. Isn't it reasonable that those who have springs of living water flowing from them would feel fresh and clean? When was the last time you felt fresh? Clean. Well, this morning I took a shower. I mean inside. Inside. Really fresh and invigorated and energized. You ought to. Springs of living water flow in your life if you know Christ. Isn't it reasonable that those who have been justified and declared innocent by God would never feel condemned? Now, isn't that only reasonable? It's only reasonable if you believe it. If you believe it. Is it possible that God ever has bad feelings toward himself? Think about that. Is it possible? Oh, of course it's not possible. Of course it's not possible. Understand the whole reason Christ came was so you and I could be let off the hook for our wrong. Let off the hook for the things that made us feel crummy. I was visiting with a person this week. Came to my home. They were telling me this story and basically said, I just don't like myself. There's just so many things in my life I've done wrong. I just can't live with myself. And I said, well, you know, I've got an answer. And the answer is, let's just start brand new. How would you like to die and come back from the dead a new person? And they said, are you serious? I said, I'm very serious. You can never make up for what you did, and you'll never feel good about yourself by trying. All you have to do is die, come back from the dead. He said, what do you mean? I said, you need Christ. You die with Christ, come back from the dead, and you'll be equal to Christ. You'll be just like Christ in the eyes of God. That's what this song was about today, through His eyes of love. You put on His glasses, and you see things a lot differently. You look from God's vantage point, and you see life a lot differently. And right there in my basement, this person has Christ in their life, and I'll tell you, it was a difference 5 minutes later. 5 minutes. That's all it takes to be born brand new, to start all over in life. Brand new, always fresh, always clean, all the time. Doesn't it make complete and total sense that if God loves you and God accepts you, He likes you and He thinks you're wonderful, He's made you perfect and righteous, holy, you're precious and beloved to Him, He takes great delight in you and feels good about you, then doesn't it make total and complete sense that you should feel the same way about yourself? It is the only humble, logical, faith-inspired thing to do. Enjoy yourself. Feel good about yourself. You are wonderful. You are perfect. You are righteous. You are magnificent, lovely, significant, and beautiful. For if God is all these things, and you were created in His image, and then you were recreated just like His Son, Christ, then you are just like your Father, God, and your brother, Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, if that don't give you some food for thought, I don't have any food for thought. That'll give you something to chomp on a long, long time. It's only logical that if that's true of us, if that's God's perspective, then I decided 7 years ago, I'm taking God's perspective, and I don't care what anybody else thinks. And boy, I've been enjoying the rewards ever since. It's kind of like where you plant your tree. Where you put your roots. Wherever you put your roots will eventually show itself by the fruits on your tree and the feeling fruits in your life. I would like to read this last little poem to you. You can get one of these today. I'd really encourage you. I had them try to make this as attractive as they can. I want you to hang this on your refrigerator or put it on your mirror. I want you to put it somewhere where you see it every single day. Because I am, I feel. Because I am righteous, I feel pure. Because I am powerful, I feel strong. Because I am beautiful, I feel lovely. And because I am justified, I feel no guilt. Because I am perfect, I feel adequate. And because I'm handcrafted by God, I feel special. Because I'm bought with His blood, I feel priceless. Because I'm continually cleansed with His blood, I feel clean. Because I'm loved by God, I feel secure. Because I'm adequate and complete, I feel confident. Because I am what I am by His grace, I feel proud of who He made me to be. Because I am His child, I feel worthy. Because I am accepted by God, I feel no pressure to prove myself to others. Because I am forgiven by God, I forgive myself. Because I am a saint, I will not feel like a sinner. You know how many times I've heard people pray, oh God, be gracious to us, I'm just a wretched sinner. I'm real sorry, my friends, but that's just not consistent with the Word of God. That's why Paul addresses in all of his letters to the saints in Ephesus, to the saints in Galatians. Saints aren't dead people. Saints are you. If you know Christ, you have a new identity. You're God's kids. And God doesn't have any imperfect kids. Or you just can't be His kid. See? Nothing you can do makes yourself feel good. But we try in our lives by what we do to feel good about ourselves. God says, quit trying and start believing. Quit trying and start thinking rightly. And your life, your experience in life will change. I had someone ask me the other day, well, Mark, just what do you think about yourself? And I answered this way, whatever's true, whatever's lovely, whatever's honorable, whatever's excellent, whatever's worthy of praise, whatever's noble, whatever's of good report about Mark Darling, that's what I think about. That's what I think about. You apply that same verse. You want verse? You want principles? Every little because I am, is a Bible verse. Every one of them. Every one of them is founded in Scripture. The Bible says we're righteous. The Bible says we're powerful. The Bible says we're beautiful. These exact words, you can look them up in your concordance if you want, and you can write a little verse by each one. This is how God wants you to live your life. And I promise you, if you take the time to go over and over and over and over this, in a matter of months, your experience in life will change. Your confidence will soar. Your security will soar. Your inhibitions will disappear. You think I'm up here because I think I'm a neat speaker? You think I'm up here because I am so skilled and have had so much great training? Well, you're wrong. I'm up here because I feel absolutely confident in my Savior. And if I didn't, I'd be scared to death. I'd be really very fearful of what you might think. I mean, someone might really take this on a tangent. They might think this is heresy. Talking about feelings? That's fine. You're going to have to go and meditate on it, but I guarantee you, as you meditate on it, as you ponder this, your life will radically change. If you'd like more information on some tapes that will go along with this that will help you, you can talk to me in the hallway later. I appreciate your attentiveness this morning. I'm glad you could be with us. And I hope that God has touched your life this morning and that you go home and, in all honesty, say, God, I want you to change my experience of life. I want to start believing this. I want to see my life radically changed in the next 30 days. God will do it if you take the steps to see it happen.